Info rapide. On est de plus en plus nombreux et nombreuses en tant que freelance et entrepreneurs solo à ne plus en pouvoir des discours entrepreneuriaux qui prônent la croissance, les 6 chiffres annuels, le fait de toujours en faire plus et plus et plus. On cherche des alternatives, d'autres manières d'entrevoir l'aventure entrepreneuriale et le fait de développer nos business, mais malheureusement, la plupart des offres d'accompagnement, de coaching ou de formation sont encore uniquement dans un prisme croissance business. En ce moment, on est en train de faire, comme chaque année, notre période de recrutement pour les 30 personnes qui rejoindront la promo de notre programme Surf. Le programme Surf, c'est un programme d'accompagnement sur 2 ans, donc pensé pour le temps long, pour t'aider à passer un cap dans ton aventure entrepreneuriale et ton business freelance, mais pas seulement sur le business. Notre pédagogie, elle repose sur 3 piliers. Le business, bien sûr, nous sommes des entrepreneurs et on veut développer nos entreprises. Le développement personnel, ce qu'on préfère appeler nous l'épanouissement individuel, parce que dev perso, c'est un terme qui a une connotation de moins en moins sexy. Donc tout le travail sur toi, la personne, être épanoui dans ton travail. Et le 3e pilier, c'est ce qu'on appelle la pensée systémique. C'est entrevoir le business en prenant en compte des sujets sociétaux hyper importants, comme l'écologie, le féminisme, la justice sociale, etc., etc. Cette liste est longue. Et donc, ce qu'on accompagne les gens à faire dans le programme Surf, c'est avancer dans leur processus et leurs projets entrepreneuriaux sans sacrifier leur épanouissement individuel et en prenant en compte les enjeux les plus importants de notre civilisation humaine. Si tu penses que ça peut te correspondre et que tu veux faire partie d'un groupe de gens qui te ressemblent pour un accompagnement sur le long terme avec 2 coachs à tes côtés, peut-être que le programme Surf est fait pour toi. Pour le savoir, je t'invite à te rendre sur surfenfreelance.com. Je répète, surfenfreelance.com, et tu peux prendre un appel avec nous et notre équipe pour en savoir un peu plus. Les portes sont ouvertes en ce moment. J'espère avoir l'honneur de te compter parmi les membres du groupe de cette année. Et sur ce, bonne écoute de l'épisode. Salut à toi et bienvenue sur Young, Wild and Freelance, le podcast pour ta vie d'indépendant. Je m'appelle Thomas Burbidge et dans mes épisodes ici, je pars à la rencontre d'autres indépendants, freelance, penseurs et penseuses du travail pour te ramener leurs retours d'expérience, leurs conseils, leurs apprentissages. L'idée, c'est qu'on se nourrisse tous et toutes ensemble des aventures d'autres personnes pour progresser dans notre propre aventure. Et aujourd'hui, j'ai la grande fierté de te partager les résultats d'une de mes propres grandes aventures personnelles. Au mois de décembre 2021, avec mon ami Kylian Talin, du podcast Inspiration Créative, on a entrepris un défi un peu fou. Prendre un avion et traverser l'Atlantique pour tenter d'interviewer une de nos idoles, Seth Godin. Si tu ne sais pas qui est cette personne, pour l'instant, contente-toi de savoir que c'est sûrement un des penseurs les plus influents de notre génération sur les sujets autour du marketing et de la création. Il a écrit de très nombreux livres sur ça, et globalement, c'est un des speakers, auteurs, podcasters les plus prolifiques au monde sur ces sujets. Par exemple, il le dira dans l'interview, cela fait maintenant 8000 jours d'affilée qu'il publie un billet sur son blog pour partager son regard sur notre monde et les sujets sur lesquels il prend la parole. 8000 jours. Il n'en a pas loupé un seul. Et autre chose que je dois dire aussi, c'est que cette interview, c'est la toute première de ce podcast qui est en anglais. Parce que oui, Seth Godin est américain. Si tu veux la version sous-titrée en français, tu la trouveras sur ma chaîne YouTube en tapant Thomas Burbidge Seth Godin dans la barre de recherche. Cette discussion est un peu plus courte que ce dont tu as sûrement l'habitude dans ce podcast, mais elle est bourrée de sagesse pour se séparer du superflu et se concentrer sur ce qui compte vraiment pour progresser dans nos aventures indépendantes. Donc ouvre bien les oreilles et prête attention à ce qui va suivre. Je te laisse tout de suite en profiter et on se retrouve en fin d'épisode pour débriefer ensemble. Bonne écoute.
We wanted to kick off with 3 questions. We put quite a bit of thought into what are the 3 questions we wanted to ask you for this 3-question adventure, and I'll let Kylian kick it off.
Sure. So I will start with the first one. So I loved your book, The Practice, especially because it's targeted to creators, for creators. And we often say that practice makes perfect, but I was curious to dig into that a little bit further, because I know how effective it can be to focus on the right practice. So what practices makes a creator or a freelancer perfect? And maybe what are the things that you have practiced and repeated over and over in your life that makes you walk, move forward on or on the right way?
That's a great place to start. I don't think practice makes perfect. I don't think perfect is the goal. So both halves of that sentence are a problem. The thing with perfect is perfect by definition is unattainable. That even if you look at the most carefully crafted automobile or piece of jewelry or anything, you can find some flaw with it. And if we wait for perfect, we will be waiting forever. Particularly if you call yourself a creative, or particularly if you deal with other human beings, perfect's just not on the table. So take it off the table. That's not the goal. The goal is to matter. The goal is to be missed if you're gone. The goal is to make a change happen. And that makes more sense, but is also scarier than perfect, because perfect gives you deniability. You can't blame me, it's perfect. Whereas if we put something into the world that's idiosyncratic, we're on the hook. And I think being on the hook is a good place to be. And then the thing about practice is, when I am talking about the practice, what I'm saying is each person who is a successful creator of anything, whether you're a freelancer or a creator, you have a method. You have what you need to trigger you, what room, what setting, what people, what timing. All of these things are choices. And so what I'm challenging people to do is begin by saying there's no such thing as writer's block, that you're not an imposter, that perfect isn't your goal, and then begin the practice of shipping the work, because that's how you increase your skill, and that's where your reputation comes from.
So what I love about that is how it's very individual focused. Everyone has their own criteria, like you said, the room, the people, the metrics. I'm curious about you in hindsight of looking at your vision, because I think that's also what we're curious about, is from your side, what have been your criteria, the specific ones that have made a difference in your practice?
Well, I think the most transferable one is the daily blog. I've done 8,000 posts in a row, haven't missed a day. I recommend that everybody do this, no matter what your current practice is, because, you know, tomorrow will be Wednesday and there'll be a blog, a post on my blog. It won't be there because it's perfect or because it's the best one I ever wrote. It will be there because it's Wednesday. And so I don't have to have a new discussion with myself about whether work will be shipped. Work will be shipped. So now the only discussion is, what do I want to do? How do I want to show up? And that becomes a 25-year-long engine of seeing the world, of engaging with an audience day by day, when the economy is good and when the economy is bad, when I'm busy and when I'm not busy, when I have a cold and when I don't. And that has paid many, many dividends for me.
Yeah, I really love that, because the power is in showing up, and then you have the ability to change it every day in the way you show up. And I really wanted to just pinpoint something you shared about helping people to make a change. And in doing that, do you see other practices or other stuff that you have done that that helped people in the change they wanted to, in helping them changing?
I'm not really sure I understand where you want me to go with that. Can you try it a different way?
Yeah, maybe I can. Do you want me to rephrase?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think what Killian's saying, and he can second me on that, is in making that little shift from I'm looking for perfect into I'm looking for a daily practice and shipping. Have you seen things that have helped you create that shift in other people, for example?
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe related to the tension.
I mean, maybe I'm missing the point, but I think that's 25 years in my career. That's what I'm trying to do. From the time I was a canoeing instructor in Canada, what I'm showing up to say to people is talent is irrelevant. Skill can be learned. You have the choice to make things better for other people. What will you do right now? What will you do this afternoon? Not because you feel like it, but but because you can. Because if it turns out that you can, then you can learn to feel like it.
Mm.
And, you know, if I had a long definition for my blog or my books or the kind of teaching I do, it would be what you just asked me as the question. Like, what am I doing for people? What I'm trying to do for people is help them see that they have something to contribute and that they can do it today.
Mm.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for the reformulation.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Love that.
Cool. And maybe this will link into the second question of the three that we wanted to ask you. But what you just said about helping people to see, I think is a big part of everything you talk about, like you just said. And I think in this question of the practice, there's this thing of how, like, people maybe are advancing in a direction and they don't see what's my thing. And the next question we're going to go into is going to the edge, and I'll link into that afterwards. But is there a moment maybe or something that helps people in your experience to suddenly like turn the lights on? Because I feel that lots of people are in the dark and they don't see what is my thing.
Yeah, so it's authenticity is a trap. You weren't born with a thing. And there is no thing that you can pick that is going to be something that had been preordained. Miles Davis wasn't born with a trumpet in his hand. That there were lots of things Miles could have done. I think he was a boxer at some point, but he ended up, his thing was playing a certain kind of music for a certain kind of audience. So for me, it's not what's the label, what will they write in your obituary? It's what mode are you in when you are the best version of yourself? For an emergency room doctor, it's different than it is for a novelist, right? The novelist is in their best mode when there's no one in the room and when the book is due in 6 months. Whereas an emergency room doctor would go crazy in that setting. But after the novelist has published their novel and it changed someone's life, they made a connection. After the emergency room doctor has cured somebody or seen somebody who had felt unseen, they've made a connection. So we're using up all this atmosphere and all this space and burning all this carbon for why? To make a difference for somebody. So we got to say, what's the change we seek to make? Who are we seeking to change?
Sure. I love these ideas of finding the mode. I think it's really useful.
Yeah. Do you want to rebound on that question one last time?
Or? Yeah. I mean, it's really related to the next one. So I guess we were really curious about the idea of going to the edge with our second question.
Yeah.
You want to?
Sure. So what we, it's, I love the fact that you said authenticity is a trap just before we got to this, because what I was going to say is with your talking about going to the edge and not creating average work and really differentiating in our own specific way, I was going to say, I think people see finding your own kind of weird as a path, which is often linked to authenticity. But I love how you just sort of like scooped that out of the field right away. So what I wanted to come to is, I feel there's this sort of opposition between people desire to find their thing, find their mode, go to the edge in their own way. And at the same time, and maybe that's due to how the world is at the moment, I feel there's a big and bigger pushback. The fact that there's more and more polarization, like online discussions are more and more vivid. And there's also, I feel, in our two communities at least, this kind of fear of stepping out too much. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious of what you, your thoughts on that opposition of, I want to stand out and I want to go to the edge. And at the same time, I'm scared of it actually happening for real.
Sure. Well, you should talk to Steve Pressfield. I mean, this is resistance. If you step out too much, it's a form of hiding because you are putting your face in front of a hand that wants to punch somebody. And of course, you can't be expected to do real work because you're being punched. On the other hand, if you fit in all the way, you don't matter and you might as well not show up. So the practice for me is not about what does social media think of you or how many friends do you have. The practice is, who's your smallest viable audience? Is it one person? That would be enough. Is it your six-year-old godson? That would be enough. Is it 100 people in this community or 1,000 people in that town? Who are you seeking to change? And you can ignore everyone else. But the opportunity for each of us is to say, yeah, I need to make a living at this. So I need 3 clients who would miss me if I was gone, who have a big enough corporate budget to pay me six figures a year, and I don't care about anybody else. Because if, particularly if you're a freelancer, your future is defined by your clients. If you get better clients, you have a better future. So instead of whining about what the people you're working for want from you, pick who you're going to work for.
Hmm. Which links back into finding your mode with the practice of getting deep with those people and not the others. Hmm.
Sure.
Correct.
Hmm. Sure.
Cool.
We were really curious about some things in your work, in your books, in all the blog posts and the knowledge you shared. We see that some ideas are sometimes in the society undervalued and some of them are overvalued. And we were really curious to see with you some of them that you feel might have been undervalued and some of them might have been overvalued. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think anyone will be surprised that lots of people in internet culture are looking for a short run, quick fix that enables them to, quote, get the word out or make a living or hit their numbers this week. And I almost never blog or write about that. But when I do, that's what people think I do. They call me a marketer. I think it's way more important that people focus on climate and education and dignity. But those are the posts I do that tend to get the least amount of traction. I don't care. I'm still doing them because that's my work. I'm here, not here to please the maximum number of people. I know how to do that. I just don't want to do that. And, you know, this mindset of hustle that has come upon us, which is now amplified with the whole GameStop thing. I mean, short-term hustle, you never meet someone who is a short-term hustler 5 years ago who says, I'm glad I did that and I'm still doing it. Never happens.
Yeah. Hmm. And I think it's also one of the things we thought with this question is relevant is in even just this conversation, there's probably things that people will hear and they're like, oh yeah, I've heard Seth say that already. And that goes in one ear and out, whereas it's the basis of an idea that can really change how we go about our day-to-day things. And on the other side, they'll probably hear you say maybe one little thing they hadn't heard yet, and they'll be like, oh, that's the key. Finally, I hadn't heard him say that yet. Yeah. What would you say to those people based on what you said?
I don't repeat myself because I'm out of ideas. Mm. I repeat myself because these are the things that actually work. And, you know, I can't tell you. I mean, I wrote This Is Marketing because I kept getting asked the same things over and over again. And status roles and affiliation, it doesn't take me very long to talk it through. But I was like, let me just write something for those people. Mm. And what they really want to hear is, well, if you put a number in the subject line and you tweet at 3 o'clock and you have a squeeze page, your revenue will go up 15%. Like, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Sure. And one last thing around this question of overvalued and undervalued. So we are talking mostly to creators and freelancers. Is there an idea that you loved, but that has felt undervalued by the people that read you or meet you that is really important to you and that would help a lot creators and freelancers?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I think there's a bunch of them. That's what someone who writes like I do does is we pay attention to the ones that people haven't understood yet. So we try to find a new way to say them. So I'm not sure itemizing them here is going to make it more likely that someone gets the joke. You know, what happens is people rationalize themselves that they have to play the bad game and race to the bottom because they got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And then they're trapped. And if you're on Fiverr or if you're on Elance, you've already given up. Because you're racing to the bottom. And the problem with the race to the bottom is you might win. And so my argument is take the short amount of time it takes to actually do the reading, understand the genre, figure out who the clients you want to have are, figure out what kind of work you would need to do before they found you so that they would want to find you. And too many creators, I hear from them every day by email, say, well, I'd love to do that, but my clients won't let me. Well, get better clients.
And we come back to that. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Yeah. Anything to add?
I just want to say once again, thank you. I feel like I've heard these over and over again, but each time I hear them, it's a great rebound. So ultra precious. Terrific. Even for me. So thanks.
Glad I could be of help. Keep making a ruckus, guys.
Thanks.
See you, Seth.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Et voilà, c'était mon interview avec Seth Godin. Et j'ai bien l'intention que ce ne soit pas la dernière. Je crois que ce que j'ai le plus aimé entendre de sa part, c'est cette idée de vraiment se focaliser sur les quelques personnes qui comptent le plus dans l'évaluation de notre travail. On tombe si facilement dans la quête infinie du statut social que nous confèrent les réseaux sociaux, la création de contenu, avec les likes, les commentaires, les partages, toutes ces choses qu'on utilise comme une forme de reconnaissance de notre propre valeur, parce qu'on a des insécurités sur le sujet et on doute de notre valeur. Mais la vraie valeur de notre travail, elle se trouve pas dans l'avis de centaines de personnes qu'on ne connaît pas sur les réseaux sociaux, elle se trouve dans les transformations qu'on permet à nos clients de vivre. Et la réalité, c'est que tu peux construire une très belle activité d'indépendant avec seulement une poignée de clients, en restant dans l'obscurité, en étant la personne qu'on recommande entre les personnes qui comptent pour toi, et que tu apportes des changements profonds dans l'activité et la vie de ces clients-là. L'invitation de Seth là-dessus, c'est choisis 3 clients, 3 personnes qui ont les moyens de te payer en cumulé près de 100 000 euros à l'année et fais ce qu'il faut pour que ces personnes-là prêtent attention à ton travail et que tu changes ces personnes-là, que tu changes leur quotidien, que tu leur apportes ce qu'elles cherchent. Tous les autres, on s'en fiche. Leur avis n'est plus pertinent pour dire si ton travail est bien ou pas bien. Concentre-toi sur l'essentiel. C'est mon invitation cette semaine. Ose te concentrer sur l'essentiel, ce qui compte vraiment et les personnes qui comptent vraiment. On se retrouve bientôt sur Young, Wild and Freelance. Bye bye.